Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 24 to 29. And I realize that we've already studied past this particular text, but that was because we were studying something that encompassed the larger context. Now we want to go into this piece of the context of 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 24 to 29, and read something that happened to Jonathan, and then make an application that will be very interesting to you, I'm sure. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 24, "And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath, wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand, and dipped it in a honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, watch it, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, Thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of this honey. Now, in a practical sense, honey itself is a very nutritious food, and it is an excellent sweetener, not only because it makes things taste better when you use it, but more importantly because of all the nutritional value that is in the honey. As a matter of fact, when you read a passage of scripture in Isaiah chapter 7 regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's prophetic, you find two very nutritional substances that are part of his diet. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. You see that? Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Now there's other applications that we can make to the verse, but just notice that for him, that is for the Lord Jesus Christ, the diet included butter and honey in a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 15. Now this is not going to be a lesson on nutrition. All we want to do is just notice how the Bible emphasizes the nutritional value of the honey and corroborate something that you have probably heard if you have studied nutrition even just a little bit. People talk about bee pollen and honey and eating the honeycomb and all that. You'll probably remember that when the Lord Jesus Christ had resurrected from the dead, some of his disciples decided that they would go fishing. And they were following Peter's lead on that. And while they were fishing, they had a difficult time, didn't catch anything. Then the Lord told them to cast on the right side after a night of worthless fishing, and they loaded up the net, caught 153 fish. The net was so heavy, they were surprised it didn't break. When they got up to the land, Jesus said to them in John chapter 21 and verse 12, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Notice they had fish, they had bread. Another time when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to them, he actually ate with them and had a piece of honeycomb, which kind of surprised them. But the fact is that even in his resurrected body, he ate, okay? And by eating honeycomb, all I'm just indicating to you is that it was still good for him even in the resurrected body, okay? Now, you say, what does that have to do with anything that is spiritual, man? Okay, if you want me to eat some honey, all right, I'll go down there and I'll buy some honey. Wonderful. But that's not what this is about, okay? What this is about is to let you know that the practical sustenance that Jonathan got from the honey when it fell to the ground and he ate it during a time that he needed a surge of energy enlightened his eyes, caused him to recover from the faint feeling that he and the other soldiers had as they were fighting against the Philistines, and gave him the energy to finish out the day, which the other guys didn't get to enjoy because they heard the oath of Saul, which said, "Cursed be the man that eateth anything this day, that I may be avenged on mine enemies." You know, he really took this battle personally. All right, now, okay, with that said, there is a spiritual application to something going on in this passage of Scripture that we need to understand, and it relates to the Word of God. You say, how's that? Nobody's reading Bible there in 1 Samuel chapter 14. No, but notice there was nutrition, and notice that his eyes were enlightened. Okay? First of all, let's go to Psalm chapter 119, and in Psalm 119, you're going to find that the Bible is compared to honey. The Bible is compared to honey. And in Psalm 119, look at verse 103. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. When I first decided to read Bible in September of 1986, I opened it up. I told the Lord at midnight, I'll read wherever it falls open. And it fell open to this psalm. There's 176 verses in this psalm. I looked at that, and then I looked up at the ceiling as if I were looking to God, and I said, "You've got to be kidding. This is midnight. I didn't know if I could, how quickly I was going to be able to get this read." As it turns out, it took me a long time. Psalm 119, verse 103, look what the Bible says. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." So there's something about Bible reading. There's something about the words of God for which you can gain an appetite. And that appetite is based upon the fact that the psalmist said these words are sweeter than honey. Now, that's not the only time he said it. Look in Psalm 19. Psalm 19, which is a psalm of David, and look at verse 10. Speaking about the words of God, and that's the whole context of Psalm 19. We're right in the middle of the context. He says, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold." Watch it. "Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." So the Bible uses honey to give you a comparison to the Word of God, or let's say a metaphor to the Word of God. And he says, if you compare the two, honey and the Word of God is even sweeter than honey. Now turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, you say, well, we're going to a lot of places in the Bible. You know, there's a reason for that. First of all, in the mouth of two or three witnesses is every word established. That's what the Bible says. So we're giving you multiple cross references on this fact. The next thing, too, is to let you know that the Bible really is the best teacher of itself. And when you see honey referred to in this context of the Word of God in several places, it becomes an encouragement to you to read your Bible, and not only just to read it so you can fulfill an obligation to read it, but so you can develop an appetite for it. You see? Look in Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, the Lord is speaking to Ezekiel in verse 1. He says, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll." Now, he's not talking about a bread roll like you would have in a cafe. He's talking about a roll upon which he has written some words. That you see in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 9, when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. You see that? So when he says, eat this roll, he's talking about those words, and go speak unto the house of Israel. Ezekiel 3, 2, so I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. So you see again now, the third time, that there is an appetite that is developed for the Word of God, and that appetite for it is like an appetite for honey, except that it is even sweeter than honey. All right? So, you want to see it one more time? You say that there are that many references? Yeah. Psalm 19:10, Psalm 119:103, Ezekiel 3:3, and then you go all the way to the last book of the Bible, and this thing about eating the words of God, eating words in a book, comes up again in Revelation 10, and this time it's given to John. Revelation 10, look at verse 9. I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. Well, this is about a little book that was open in Revelation chapter 10, and some thunders that were sounded and some words that were sealed up. So I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Now you say, okay, wait a minute. Well, I wanted you to see this because notice in his mouth it was sweet as honey, but when it got into his belly, it became bitter. You say, why is that? The reason is very simple. The appetite for the words of God is developed as you partake, as you eat, as you learn the value and benefit, spiritual, nutritional value of living on the words of God, okay? And they become tasty. I read the Bible every day. I mean, I know there's some days that because of other things that entered in were missed. I'm not trying to hold myself out as some spiritual giant, but I make it a practice, okay? Those days are the exception to the rule. I make it a practice to read the Bible every day. And you know what happened? I developed an appetite for it. When I was a kid, they wanted me to eat spinach. Then I could be like Popeye. You know what? I didn't like spinach. I didn't have an appetite for it. Now I could eat it every day. I can eat it raw. I can eat it sauteed. I can eat it boiled. I can eat it any way you cook it. I like spinach. What happened? I developed an appetite for something that I didn't like before. I'll tell you something else. When I was younger, I ate something sweetened at every meal. I had something sweet for breakfast, like pancakes, or something we called Dutch babies, which were fabulous, or waffles, or donuts. I just like sweets. And mid-morning, I would have a Coke, and I would have a dessert with lunch. I'd have chocolate in the middle of the afternoon. I was hypoglycemic. I was keeping myself energized with sugar. I would have dessert after supper, and I kid you not, every night for many years, I ate 3 big scoops of vanilla ice cream with chocolate syrup all over them. And I took that bowl to bed with me and put that bowl beside the bed and went to sleep. Any wonder that I have teeth left. But anyway, I ate a lot of sweets. Do you know what I never used back in those days? I never used honey. Didn't have an appetite for it. Didn't need it. When I got off of sweets because of the hypoglycemia nearly 20 years ago, there are times when I want to sweeten something like oatmeal, and I love honey. I have an appetite for it. It satisfies that. It doesn't cause the hypoglycemic reaction or whatever they call that, glycemic index, if you use it in moderation. And you know what? It's very nourishing. What happened? Well, I got off of artificial sweeteners or sugars and on to something that was very, very nutritious. And I developed an appetite for it. Okay. When you develop an appetite for the Word of God and it gets inside of you, suddenly your attitude about some things in the world drastically changes. And you don't see things in the world the same way that people who want you to see things in the world their way see them. You take a completely different look at international politics. You take a completely different look at the United Nations. You take a completely different look at domestic policies. You take a completely different look at civil rights. Everything begins to change, and you start to see things God's way. And you recognize that God has a plan, and the world is not following God's plan. It's being forced into it, but it doesn't like it. And God finds a lot of things that are acceptable to the world abominable, and the world finds a lot of things that are acceptable to God abominable. For instance, our government, for instance, tells you that in public arenas and public areas like courthouses and things like that, that we're not to mention the name of Jesus Christ and not to hold your hand on a Bible and not to publish the Ten Commandments and things like that. Listen, those are treasured jewels to God Almighty. They are despised in the public arena. Do you see that? And when you get the Bible in you and you begin to change your view of the world and you get a, as they say, a biblical worldview, your stomach gets bitter because you see just how far this world that was created by God has removed itself from the Lord in an effort to get its own way. Everybody does that which's right in his own eyes, and generally they end up doing everything that God doesn't want them to do. And when you see them getting away with that and continually taking the name of God Almighty in vain to profess their pride and their anger and their expletives, you know what? You don't like it. Then it changes your belly, even though it's sweet to the taste. All right, now watch. When back here in our text in 1 Samuel chapter 14, when Jonathan ate the honey, we know he was nourished, but notice how he expressed the nourishment. He said his eyes were enlightened. He said, "My father hath troubled the land. I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey." There's a light that comes on in his body when he is nourished, having been strengthened against that faint feeling that he had because he was running out of energy. And spiritually speaking, when you take in the Word of God, your eyes are enlightened. Let's go back to Psalms again and look at Psalm 119. I love the light of the Word of God. I like seeing things the way God sees them. It may not make me happy as far as the way the world is going with things, but it makes me happy to know that God and I are on the same page about these matters. He didn't come to my page, I came to his. And that happened when my eyes opened up. Notice in Psalm 119 and verse 103, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." Do you see that? "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple." Now, understanding is something that comes from the Lord. Wisdom is something that comes from the Lord. I know the world has its wisdom, but I'm talking about godly wisdom. That's something that comes from the Lord. And all of that comes, the discretion, the discernment, the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge, those things come from the Lord. And those things come from the words of God, and your eyes are opened. Notice what the psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 18. Psalm 119 and verse 18, and look what he said. He said, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." What's he saying? My eyes are not open until I come to your law. When I read, I want you to open mine eyes so that I can behold the wondrous things that are in here. Listen, when people read the Bible, you'll have all kinds of doctrinal error that comes out of their Bible reading. That's why we have so many denominations. That's how we have so many different interpretations. And people argue sometimes and they say, "Yeah, that's your interpretation. How do you know your interpretation is right?" May I tell you something? When God opens your eyes, when the Spirit of God reveals the truth of the words of God, you'll get it. If you come to this Bible with a believing mind and a humble heart, or a humble mind and a believing heart, and you say to the Lord, "Listen, I'm not smart enough to figure this thing out, but I sure would like you to teach me," he'll tell you what it says. He'll open your eyes. You will have light. And you know, it doesn't make any difference what part of the world you're in. I've got friends in Africa, friends in Asia, friends in Europe, friends in South America, friends here in the United States of America, all over various places that we've met over the years serving the Lord. And you know something? The doctrine is the same. It doesn't make any difference what part of the world you're in. When God opens your eyes and shows you the wondrous things in His law, He knows the pride of your mind, and He knows the pride of your heart, and He knows whether you really believe what you're reading or not, and whether you want to criticize it. And if you want to be proud, or you want to be critical, or you want to be boastful of what the things are that you've learned, He's going to limit what you get out of it. You come to Him as a child comes to its mother for nourishment. God's going to show you something, and you will be amazed at the things you see, because your eyes will open. They will be enlightened. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 119 in verse 105. Psalm 119 in verse 105, the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, do you get that? Listen, Jesus Christ came to the earth. The Bible says He is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Greatest verse in the Bible on the Trinity. And Jesus there is referred to as the Word. May I tell you something? When the Word showed up down here, He said, "I'm the light of the world." Now, Jesus Christ bodily is seated at the right hand of God Almighty in heaven, according to the Bible. But now we have His words, the Holy Bible, printed. I'm talking to you out of them right now. And you know what the Bible says? The word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That book will give you light, to light around your feet so you don't stumble on any obstacle that's in front of you, and will give you light along your path so that you know that you're heading in the right direction. And the beauty of the words of God is that you just get brighter and brighter as you get closer to the source of that light. Now, I told you that Jesus is the light of the world and the Bible is the light of the world. Let me tell you something that's very interesting. I study the Bible with a fellow that is learning kind of through discipleship more and more about the Bible. It's amazing. All right, well, we studied the book of John, and a lot of the words in the book of John were actually spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ and recorded by John. And some Bibles actually, called red letter edition Bibles, actually have those words in red. Then we studied the book of Romans, and now he's reading the book of Proverbs on his own. Get what he said. Listen to what he said. He said when he started reading the book of Proverbs, he looked at me with a very quizzical look on his face, and he said, "These words, they're not in red in Proverbs." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, these sound like the words of Jesus, but they're not in red." May I tell you something? That is a very profound question. Do you recognize what he was saying? He hears the voice of God in every passage that he reads. He says it's the same voice, whether it's in red or in black, whether it's penned by John or whether it's penned by Solomon or whether it's penned by Paul. I hear the same voice. That's absolutely right. That is a very profound comment. These are the words of God. And brother, they will lighten your eyes. Now look at one more verse of Scripture. Very interesting in the context of our conversation today. In Proverbs chapter 27. Again, concerning honey and the words of God. Proverbs chapter 27, and look at verse 7. Proverbs 27:7 says, "The full soul loatheth an honeycomb." To loathe it is to despise it, to hate it, to find it disgusting. "The full soul loatheth the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet." May I tell you something? You know why it's difficult for you to read the Bible? Because you're full of a lot of other things that have satisfied your appetite, though they have not nourished your soul. And when you're full of things that satisfy your appetite, and the hunger of your soul will be masked, just like if you eat a snack and all of a sudden you don't feel like eating supper. You didn't get the nourishment from the snack, but you satisfied the desire, the appetite at the time. People do that all the time. They're full of television. They're full of movies. They're full of work. They're full of thoughts of other things. We get that way. May I tell you something? Leave a place of hunger. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Leave a place of hunger for the honey of the words of God. I was talking to some people just today, and they were telling me they've been listening to a preacher, and he reads the Bible through cover to cover 3 times every year, reads the New Testament every 60 days. You know why? Because he's hungry for the words of God. You know what? He's a good preacher. You know why? Because he's in the book. I had a dear friend of mine who was dying, and in the last years of his life just really didn't have the energy to do much, and his wife bought him a bunch of John Wayne movies, and you know what? He said, "These aren't satisfying mine appetite." And he began to read the Bible, and he would read it cover to cover every 30 days. That's right, 12 times a year. You know why? Because he liked it. It was nourishing. You know what Jesus Christ said? He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You live by the words of God, spiritually. You feed your soul when you nourish that soul on the honey of the words of God, and you'll find that your eyes will be enlightened and your thoughts will be more like God than at any other time in your life. I encourage you to lighten your eyes through reading the words of God.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have 2 websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Hallelujah.